Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update on Friday the 18th of July. Here's your rundown of what's been happening news-wise on the island today. After criticism from the Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper and a former health minister, of course he is, we're going to hear the current health minister respond to his comments. Also tonight, an MHK accuses government of changing its policy on affordable housing without Timwald approval. There's some good news on the horizon for same-sex parents on the island. And for the final time, we'll head to Orkney for news about how Manx athletes have been doing in the Island Games today for the final day there. We'll also look at the traffic and the travel as well and the weather over the weekend. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can email studio@manxradio.com. Let's start, as usual, with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan. Fastamai.
The Great North Air Ambulance Service has confirmed its critical care team are on the scene of a road traffic collision on the Mountain Road. The route is currently closed from Brandywell to the Cregner Bar and is expected to remain so until around 7:30 this evening. We'll bring you an update as soon as we have it. An MHK has voiced concerns over the Department of Infrastructure's potential purchase of affordable properties at a Manx Development Corporation site. Chris Thomas says the DOI taking on the 42 apartments as older persons' housing would be a change of policy that should have Timwald approval first. A mother from the Isle of Man who's been campaigning for more than a decade for equal parental rights for same-sex couples says a law change has been a long time coming. The Isle of Man Reproductive Rights Bill is awaiting royal assent. Sue Harper has two children with her partner Sarah and told Manx Radio she cannot wait for the day they can add Sarah's name alongside hers on their birth certificates.
These children are wanted and fought for and they're loved before they even get here. But only the birth mum can have equal rights and the partner who's been as much through all the IVF or whatever treatment you go through, for them not to then have that right on the place where they live, it's just not right.
And the Isle of Man's campaign at the Island Games is officially over, with the men's football side taking the bronze medal in this afternoon's match against Jersey. All in all, this year's Manx contingent has walked away with 19 gold, 26 silver and 34 bronze medals, a 16 medal improvement on the last games in Guernsey. Further afield, police have identified a child who died in a school bus crash in Somerset yesterday as a 10-year-old boy, whilst nine people are still in hospital. Donald Trump is ramping up attacks on the Wall Street Journal, calling it a pile of garbage, after it reported he'd sent a graphic birthday letter to the late paedophile Jeffrey Epstein. And police aren't taking any further action against Kneecap for their Glastonbury set. Bob Villain's performance is still under review. Both artists are known for their outspoken support for Gaza. They're your headlines, news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Dry and bright, areas of low cloud at times this evening, just a small risk of some coastal mist, light to moderate south-southwest winds and minimum temperatures around 13. So tomorrow, mainly dry, sunny intervals, temperatures around 20 again, light winds as well, and still some sunny intervals on Sunday, but an increasing risk of showers or possibly longer spells of rain. Sunset this evening, 9:40. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 5:10.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Filshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view filshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsay, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Visit Ramsay Art Gallery for a fabulous range of top brand watches and stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course our gallery of prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsay Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers opposite the RNLI shop.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to Update. It is just coming up to 5:05. Now, the Health Minister says it's really disappointing to hear her predecessor make personal and inflammatory attacks against her. Claire Christian has been responding to comments from Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper, where he described government as fundamentally dishonest and said he had zero confidence in Ms. Christian's ability. Now, this comes after Tim Wald backed a motion to cover a £15.3 million overspend on healthcare, something Mr. Hooper voted against. Minister Christian has been talking to Phil Gawne.
I wish he'd supported the supplementary vote. I find it strange that there's a man here that's calling for more funding for the health service, but yet didn't support the additional funding.
But what he said was he fundamentally doesn't believe that government, I guess that means yourself because you're the health minister, are being honest about the funding needs of the health service.
So I think it's important to distinguish between a disagreement and dishonesty. So decisions in government are rarely, rarely simple, but they are made with transparency and integrity. So the ministerial code is quite clear about the need for honesty, and if he has any evidence that ministers have behaved dishonestly, then he should submit that evidence through the correct channels. Disagreement over policies is not dishonest. That's politics. In terms of the specific point that he made about the doctor's pay award, let's be very clear, and so that there's no confusion, the doctor's pay award was funded by the underspend within the DHSE for the year. Our approach to the pay award was transparent and consistent with the information outlined in the memorandum, and I stand by that statement I made at the time, which were based on the best information available and in good faith. He mentioned obviously that he thought that I didn't know what was in my own documents, but I refute that. I'm very familiar with what's in both the mandate and the operating plan, but I think it's important not to mischaracterise strategic planning as simple cutting services. So what that means is the intention is to protect core services and not to undermine them. And so it's about making the system sustainable so we can protect the core people and rely on it.
Former Minister Hooper has no confidence in you as minister and believes that every minister is dishonest.
It is really disappointing that he clearly believes that making inflammatory and personal attacks is any way helpful or achieves any possible outcome. Phil, my focus continues to be firmly on the future and the work ahead. I take my responsibilities to Tim Wald extremely seriously, and I've never knowingly been dishonest, and nor would I ever do so. But if Mr. Hooper says he cannot support this government because he believes it's fundamentally dishonest, then I'm bemused as to why he is still in his positions within the DOI and DEFA. I wonder why he hasn't resigned from both of those positions if he truly believes that.
That is the Health Minister, Claire Christian, talking to Phil Gawne. You can hear Mr. Hooper's comments and the Chief Minister's reaction to them on our website. 8 minutes past five, and an MHK is accusing government of changing its policy on affordable housing without Tim Wald approval. The Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas had planned to bring a motion to this month's sitting about the Manx Development Corporation's Westmoreland Road development, but a change to Tim Wald's rules earlier in the sitting meant his motion was ruled out of order. And really, he's worried about a document added to the planning application for the 133 property development just before it was approved by the Planning Committee in May. It indicates the Department of Infrastructure could purchase all 42 affordable properties on the site and allocate them for older persons' housing. Mr. Thomas has been talking to Phil and says this is something Tim Wald and Douglas City Council should have been consulted about first.
There is a huge planning application from the Manx Development Corporation, which has got substantial ramifications for parking for the constituents, but also for the provision of affordable housing, something that's very important to me. Government's been changing policy, or is it Manx Development Corporation that's been changing policy? So I put down a motion for us to discuss the policy around affordable housing, active travel, parking and the planning process itself. That's now been ruled out of order because of a change to standing orders. We do need to discuss what the Department of Infrastructure Housing and Properties Officer has sent to the Planning Committee before they've made a decision about the site that is going to be used at Westmoreland Village for hundreds of houses in a new way, making them affordable because they're not affordable by the current definition. We had the Minister of Cabinet Office and Chair of the Housing Communities Board, David Ashford, admit that yesterday.
And why do we need to know that?
Well, because the Isle of Man way is to have either local authorities or the DOI providing social housing or public housing, and then we have a shared equity scheme to enable first-time buyers and second-time buyers in exceptional circumstances to purchase housing. We're now innovating, which can be a good thing, but at the very least, the decision to innovate needs to be taken in Tynwald Court with the public knowing that we're doing this innovation, because there's now a possibility that DOI Housing Agency will be managing houses inside Douglas, which I imagine will be quite frightening to local authorities around the island. Even more likely, from my point of view, will be that a new housing association will be managing these properties. This paper from DOI to the planning committee talks about a higher amount needing to be paid by whoever's operating. So effectively, it's more money transferred to the Manx Development Corporation to cover the build costs.
That is Chris Thomas, MHK. So, of course, we did approach the Department of Infrastructure, the Manx Development Corporation and Douglas City Council for comment. The DOI hasn't been able to provide a statement. We do still hope to speak with the minister, though, about this matter. And we've had no response so far from the MDC. However, a spokesperson for Douglas City Council says, as the island's largest local housing provider with a long-term housing strategy, the council maintains regular and constructive dialogue with the Isle of Man government and property developers such as the Manx Development Corporation. We remain fully committed, they say, to developing and delivering quality, affordable and efficient homes for those in need, and we're always open to exploring potential opportunities in the capital. They conclude by saying the local authority, however, has not agreed to purchase any properties on Westmoreland Road. 11 minutes past five, and the Isle of Man Reproductive Rights Bill, which is currently awaiting royal assent, aims to bring the island in line with the UK's Fertilisation and Embryology Act of 2008. So currently, same-sex partners aren't automatically recognised as parents when a baby is born through fertility treatments such as IVF. Only the birth mother and genetic father can register as parents on the birth certificate. Now, Sue Harper has two children with her partner Sarah, but due to the existing law, only she is listed on their birth certificates. And she raised this issue back in 2014 following the birth of their daughter Lily. More than a decade later, she told Chanel what it means to get to this point now.
It's been very frustrating, I would say, because I've never been told no from the government, but I have been given a lot of deadlines that have passed, promises that have been broken. So that side of it has been really frustrating. And I think what I know now, when Tanya August Phillips got hold of it and put it through as a private member's bill, it's really gained traction in the last few years. And the motivation has always been there because obviously, you know, you do it for your family. I've got equal rights automatically. My partner, Sarah, hasn't, not automatically. And you do it for the protection of your children. If anything was to happen to me, then obviously I want Sarah to have full rights and responsibility for our children.
How does it feel as a family? Because same-sex marriages and same-sex relationships are acknowledged. But when it comes to the parental part of it, you've got one that has that right and one that in you don't have it in writing.
Mm. You think times have moved on, great, you know, same-sex marriage, civil partnership. To go through everything that you go through with IVF fertility treatments, I mean, Lily was round 10 of fertility treatment and with two miscarriages. Ella was round 15 with another three miscarriages thrown in. So these children are wanted. You know, they're not mistakes. They're not one-night stands. These children are wanted and fought for, and they're loved before they even get here.
That is Sue Harper talking to Chanel. So why has this taken so long? Legislative Council member Tanya August Phillips took this matter up in the form of a private member's bill to Tynwald, and she's been talking to Christian.
There's a big process that follows this, so I hope that lobbying from externally, from those individuals that are actually directly involved, I hope that pressure stays on.
Why do you think it's taken so long to get this degree of equality?
So just to use DHSC as an example, Department of Health and Social Care, you know, start of this administration, you were looking at the overarching statute for health and social care being updated. You had capacity legislation, the children and young persons legislation, which does desperately, again, need an update. Deprivation of liberties, the mental health legislation, medicines legislation, you know, and it kind of sits in the mix with all of that.
Once this is implemented, does that mean that the island will have caught up and is now in line with the UK?
Yeah, but I don't think that that's the end of the story. I mean, you've got the surrogacy side. There was consultation that took place. They came up with a draft piece of legislation. So what I did is I decided to kind of like create space to be able to import a piece of law like that should it go through Westminster.
That's Tanya August Phillips, MLC.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
The main thing to look out for is that closure on the mountain road. We know the Great North Air Ambulance Service has confirmed its critical care team are at the scene of a road traffic collision there on the mountain. It's currently closed from Brandywell to the Cregner Bar. It's expected to remain so until around 7:30 at least this evening. So you need to take an alternative route. And of course, we'll bring you any updates on that as soon as we have them. Other things to look out for, obviously over the weekend, we've got the Grand Fondo. There are loads of road closures in place for that. So do head over to our website. So we've got all the links to there. And also, if we look ahead to next week, there are some pretty big things happening. In Peel, the main road in and out of Peel is going to be closed between the Albany Road, Crossroads and Station Road from 9:30 to 3 each day. That's for road stud installation. Diversions will be in place. A short stretch of Saddle Road is going to be closed on Monday only. That's for work on the trees. That's going to be from 9:30 until 3:30. And also from Monday, the traffic light system at St Ninian's is going to be replaced. So that's going to take around 4 weeks. There will be temporary lights in place there. So we'll have details of all those on our website, but this evening all looking okay down at the airport and the steam packet as well.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It's just gone 5:15, and on the programme yesterday we heard how Tynwald had approved an amended motion affirming its full support for all international obligations relating to war crimes. Now that followed a motion brought forward by Douglas East MHK Joni Farragher calling on the Chief Minister to write to the UK government conveying Tynwald's position. Now it originally specified such support should not be given to any state currently engaging in or under formal internal investigation for violations such as war crimes or crimes against humanity. Once again, Phil's been talking to Ms Farragher, the leader of the Manx Labour Party, to find out how she felt about the debate and the changes made to her motion.
I was buoyed, I think, to see that people were emotionally invested in this issue, because actually it really is one that we should all be invested in and that we should all have some part of our attention being paid to it. Obviously people were talking about the situation in Israel and Gaza, and that I did, as I did mention, that speaks more to that reality of that situation, because my motion didn't reference any country or situation in the world today. So the fact that everybody's minds immediately went to that, I think, speaks absolute volumes. The Council of Ministers had an amendment which, as I say, did specifically reference the situation in the Middle East and did reaffirm our alignment with international law, which is good. It had some merits, but of course it did strip out the requirement for the Chief Minister to write to the UK government, which I think is just a huge missed opportunity for our Parliament to actually take a mature and prudent and principled stand.
And there were several other amendments. One suggested that maybe the President of Tynwald could write on behalf of Tynwald, but that wasn't supported either, was it?
It was actually supported in Keys, but it wasn't supported in the Legislative Council. So it's a shame that that amendment failed because of the disagreement of the Houses. But yeah, I mean, I would have been comfortable with anybody writing, really, and do intend to take some action in that area myself.
Basically, you're going to write to somebody?
Yeah, I mean, I think there will be a group of people who will wish to put their names to a letter. It's a symbolic gesture, and we are all aware of that, and we do lots of symbolic gestures as Parliament. It's a cautious and careful, but in its heart, a very principled approach to take, in my view.
That's the Douglas East MHK Joni Farragher talking to Phil there. OK, so it's 18 minutes past five. For the final time, we're going to head over to Orkney now and join our sports editor, Rob Pritchard, on what has been the final day of the Island Games. And Rob, what a week it's been, eh?
Absolutely, yes. Welcome for the final time to the 2025 International Island Games in Orkney. The sporting action has now come to an end. And to round things off for the Isle of Man today, they have managed to muster 17 medals in total. Let's take you through them, through the sports alphabetically. We'll start with athletics. Things got off to a great start in the morning. It was gold in the half marathon for both Krista Kane in the women's race and Corin Leeming in the men's race. The Isle of Man women's team in the half marathon also took team bronze. There were also three more medals to come in the final track events. Sam Perry took silver in the men's 800 metre race, and then there were bronze medals, two bronze medals in fact, for the men's relay teams, specifically in the men's 4x100 metre race and 4x400 metre race. In badminton, it was close but not quite to be for Jess Lee and Kim Clegg in the final of the women's doubles. They were looking to defend the gold that they won in Guernsey. Although losing today, they have managed to claim silver in that particular event. So that's two medals in 2 years for them in the women's doubles. In cycling, there's been two more medals today in what was a thoroughly entertaining men's town centre criterium. Tyler Hannay taking individual silver and the Isle of Man men's team as a whole taking team silver, meaning the Isle of Man cycling team has medalled in every single event. Isle of Man cycling team has medalled in every single event it's taken part in this year. In football, there's been medals for both the women's and men's team. The Isle of Man women's team just losing out into the final to Bermuda. They took the silver medal, and the men's team, they took bronze, a late Lee Gale goal, securing a 3-2 win over Jersey there. And a great final day in gymnastics as well. They got six medals there. Fraser McKenna took silver in the men's individual parallel bars. Amara Brogan took gold in the women's individual beam. Lacey Jackson took silver in the women's individual beam, so a Manx 1-2 there. And then elsewhere, Harry Ayres took silver in the men's individual floor. Elise Pease took bronze in the individual women's vault. And Anya Matthews took bronze in the women's individual asymmetric bars. So that brings the sporting action to a close. All eyes will now turn here in sunny Kirkwall to the closing ceremony taking place this evening from 8 p.m. For a little bit of context, the closing ceremony at the Ireland Games is a much more low-key affair than, say, the opening ceremony that we had at Bignall Park. It will only be athletes and officials in attendance along with a few family and friends. It won't actually be open to the public. The ceremony is expected to last around half an hour with a couple of keynote speakers before the International Ireland Games Association officially closes the event. In short, it has been a sensational Ireland Games for the Isle of Man, and I'll just leave you with a very quick stat as well to end this. The Isle of Man has now far surpassed its total of medals that it got in Guernsey in the Ireland Games 2 years ago. They have excelled once more. It's been a beautiful sunny week here in Kirkwall, and everything coming to a close later this evening.
Rob, thank you so much. When are you heading home for a lie down?
I'll be getting a good night's sleep this evening, and then I'm heading back early tomorrow morning to Manx Shores.
Well, we can't wait to see you, Rob. Thank you so much. The coverage has been absolutely spot on for the Ireland Games, and you can still go to the Manx Radio Facebook page, also our social media pages as well, because Rob's been doing interviews with so many of the athletes, particularly those who've taken medals in the various disciplines. So do go and take a look at those. But what a week it has been. Absolutely fantastic. And I think there needs to be some homecoming for those Manx athletes when they hit the Manx Shores. Now we're going to stay with sport because FC Isle of Man Summer Festival of Football has kicked off today. Joining the Ravens for a weekend of fixtures are professional sides Fleetwood Town, Altrincham FC and Radcliffe FC. The tournament kicked off earlier between the Manchester sides, and Paul Jones's men will play the Fishermen, that's Fleetwood Town, later tonight at the Bowl from 7 p.m. And although Manx side is up against teams higher at the pyramid, Mr Jones says his squad is not just there to take part.
It's really tough. Like, we're playing Fleetwood Town on Friday, and you know, League Two side, 9.5 times out of 10, then, you know, we shouldn't be anywhere near them. But, you know, we also know we've got a really good group who can get up for these sort of games, and certainly for an hour, 70 minutes, I'm expecting us to be really competitive, and same again on Sunday against either another National League side or a National League North side. So, you know, we're playing well above our league level, but it gives us a great experience, and it really means that we're getting properly stretched and challenged ahead of the season start.
Do you take much from the result, or is it more just can you apply yourselves against these kind of sides, and then is that what you're looking to take confidence out of? Or is it purely just putting yourself up against this challenge and then the confidence that can then lead into the season next weekend?
You know, we're certainly trying to win, but at the same time, with our realistic head on as well, we can't be too sidetracked by the result. Even if we do win, or, you know, if we don't win, it doesn't really matter in pre-season. What really matters is, are the players doing the things that we're asking them to do? You know, are they making sure they give a good account of themselves? Are they working as hard as they need to? Are they playing as a team in and out of possession like we're asking them to do, and at least trying to do the right things? That builds confidence if we can see that happening, and if they can see that happening, and we've got a really good analysis of the Bradley game, which should give them a huge amount of confidence going into this weekend. You know, so result aside, there's lots of ways, whether it's our processes that we're trying to get right through set plays or whatever else it might be, or actual performance. You know, this weekend is more about just focusing on doing the right things for us at the, you know, all the way through the game, no matter what's happening, no matter how much pressure we're under, because that will stand us in good stead next week.
That is Paul Jones talking to Darren Timpson there. We've had a message to say, fantastic achievement for the Manx athletes at the Island Games. Can you confirm where we came in the medals table? We were fourth. So it's Faroe Islands first, then Jersey, then Guernsey, and then the Isle of Man. Just going to leave you tonight with this news, because the Island Cyber Security Centre has published its latest threat report, and it's really warning online scams are becoming more convincing, more targeted, and harder to spot. Christian Jones has some details about this.
Between May and June, nearly 800 suspicious emails were submitted to the government's reporting service, most containing malicious links, while others involved fake investment schemes or impersonation of services like Manx.net, PayPal, and travel sites. One scam highlighted involved a fake Revolut message. The victim was tricked into sharing a one-time passcode and uploading ID documents, losing more than £3,000. Officials say that's a textbook case of social engineering, where criminals manipulate legitimate systems to gain trust. Other incidents included a local business targeted with spoof emails to redirect payments, and a crypto scam victim approached again by fraudsters claiming to offer compensation, only to be defrauded a second time. The report also flagged a company using a fake online identity, complete with an AI-generated chief executive and a business address linked to a private home, raising concerns about how easily publicly available data can be misused to appear credible. And while scams are rising, some genuine messages are now being mistaken for fraud, showing just how much digital trust has eroded. The Cybersecurity Centre says protecting against cybercrime isn't just about technology, it's about planning, training, and building a culture of vigilance.
Christian Jones reporting there. And we talk so often, don't we, about how sophisticated some of these online scams are. And I think many of us can definitely fall for them. So it's something to be aware of. But interesting that genuine emails now are being mistaken for online scams, which I suppose just shows that we are just being that little bit more vigilant. That is pretty much all from Update this evening. Just a reminder that due to that earlier RTC on the Mountain Road, it is closed at the moment. We know the Great North Air Ambulance has been at the scene with their critical care team as well. You are going to need to take an alternative route. So as soon as anything changes, it's likely to be closed until around about 7:30 this evening. As soon as there is any change to that, we will post it on our social media pages. Thank you so much for your company this evening. Coming up next, it's an extended Greatest Hits again, because obviously Rob is away in Orkney, so there's no Friday Sport Preview. So Chris Kinney will be with you very, very shortly. At 9, it's Jumping In with the Kane Brothers, and then Ree will be with you live from 10. And I do hope you enjoy the rest of your evening. The KPMG prom run is currently getting underway on Douglas Promenade. So if you're down in that area, do cheer on the Manx Radio team. I think they need every bit of support that they're going to get. Whatever you're doing this weekend, have a good one. Update will be back with you at 5 p.m. on Monday.